All right, well, happy March. It's not spring yet, although we were hoping it was in February. but what is heating up is annexation. I know you're getting a lot of feedback from that, and you recently had a forum, I believe, this past week, and a lot of residents just not happy about those potential property tax increases that, of course, we talked about last month. What's your answer to these concerns
sure.
that residents
well,
are coming
good
forward
to be with
you
again, Joe. Nice to see you. You know, annexation is never easy for the people being annexed, I suppose, through history. We remind ourselves, and I've had numbers of meetings with different people about it, we remind ourselves both the city and the county are 199 years old. We've been doing this for 199 years because I promise you the boundaries of city of Bloomington have changed a lot over that period of time. And I remind people of that, you know, county government and city government are meant to do different things. County government set up by the state to provide basic services in the county, including the jails and the sheriff and running the taxing and property tax system and the assessor and those kinds of things. City governments are meant to provide services to people who live in cities, the much more intensive services. And over the many, many years, as the densification happens, as urbanized cities grow, the boundaries change. It is true, and I remind people that for the last 15 years, Bloomington didn't really change our boundaries. We stopped annexing. We've been doing regular annexation, and the previous administration and the previous determinations made stopped annexing. Well, if you stop annexing, then you got to catch up at some point, and that's really what we're doing. We're playing catch up.
You know, it's been more than a month since that annexation was announced. Have you been able to talk more kind of on the other side with the county officials and how this would affect the county?
Yes, and the first thing to say is, you know, while the city did not annex all these areas that have been growing and developing, the county stepped in to provide services. The county plowed the roads, and the county provided the sheriff coverage, and the county, you know, helped do all those services. And their fire departments stepped up. And so they really, during this gap, have picked up all these services, which are not really designed for county government. We're working closely. I've been meeting with county officials regularly. We'll continue to do that. We work together very well, the city and the county. And this is, this is again a game of catch up that we're doing. And that means we have to work a little more intensively on that. And we'll have a bunch of public hearings the week of March 20th to the 25th, Monday through Saturday, hearings that will invite the public to come in and learn more about the annexation process.
Something that I found interesting was that some, and you mentioned this, but I never had to ask you about it until I heard about it this past month, that there are some subdivisions or areas of the county that when they received water or sewer, there was an agreement that they would be annexed. And mm-hmm. so they don't have, per se, a say in the matter. Can you talk a little bit about
sure.
that and what that means?
Yeah, it's also, you know, the underlying facts about this are these areas were intended for annexation. They've been they're basically in the 2-mile fringe. Many of these were areas that were intended for annexation over the years. It just wasn't done. And in particular, it is also true that when the utility department extends sewer service to a new development or new areas, new businesses, very often that sewer service is only extended when the owner of that property agrees they will become part of the city in the future. Because the sewer and the city kind of go together, we've been extending it farther. So those waivers, as they're called, many thousands of the property owners have signed waivers saying we agree to be part of the city whenever you get to it. So that's definitely a factor now. And unfortunately, some of the people who've then since bought the property kind of forget that, you know, a subsequent buyer or maybe they're renting the property. They don't even know.
I wanted to move on to the State of the City address. You announced a major renovation to the animal shelter. It was a $2 million
yes.
project. Where is that money coming from and how did that project get in your agenda?
Well, you know, the first thing I want to say is they do an amazing job at the animal shelter. And one of the things I pointed out in the State of the City was that statistic about the continuing increasing adoptions that we've got and the radically declining euthanasia rate. This shelter, which takes any animal in, has a very dramatic and stellar performance in reducing the amount of animals that we have to euthanize, and that's terrific. The facility needed upgrading. The previous administration had earmarked some of this money to support the upgrade. I've been there several times. We're working closely with them. It's a really important asset for the community to take care of our animal friends. And so it's about a $2 million upgrade, as you noted. It's going to expand the number of cat and dog facilities, improve the facilities for our volunteers. We have hundreds of volunteers who go out there, and we want to make sure it's a facility that's appropriate for all the volunteers giving their time. So I think in just in the next week or two, that will get approved, the actual expenditure, and you'll see construction and rehab beginning very shortly.
I wanted to ask about the Monroe County Humane Association, because that's in the same building.
They are located there as well.
Does that affect them at all too, or is this mainly just for the animal shelter?
The overall improvements to the building will have a benefit to the Humane Association. They, I believe, are still going to be co-located. That's been a collaborative effort for quite a while. And they're going to stay there, and it'll be a better place for them too in the future.
So City Council moving ahead on new plans for sanitation services this week. What is changing and what should people be looking for?
Well, yes, the council, I think, will have their formal vote in a couple weeks on the sanitation. I'm really thankful. We talked about this. I proposed it last year. And then there's a working group of citizens and council members and our staff and others, experts, who kind of dug into the details, and they produced this plan. The main components are we're moving to weekly recycling, which I'm excited about, instead of biweekly. We're moving to single stream recycling, which will help people. We expect to see more recycling because of that, meaning you can combine all your recyclables. We're moving to uniform carts or totes, rolled carts that we're going to provide to everybody, which will help make possible the mechanization, which we need to do. The real driving force to this year ago was our employees are getting hurt. Our employees are lifting tons of trash every day in old, very old style approach. So this is gonna let us move to mechanized trucks. It's gonna help our employees be healthier. And it's also gonna help our customers, all our residents have uniform carts. It'll protect the rain from getting in our garbage and our recycling, which is a good thing. And we'll see the rollout later this fall, probably six months or so from now, because it takes a while to order the trucks.
Sure. I know last month we talked about that inclusionary zoning legislation at the State House. I don't think that's moved much anywhere lately. Do you know anything more than I do on that, on where that legislation stands?
Well, Joe, I'm still concerned about it. I'm very concerned about the state legislator trying to become a zoner in chief for Bloomington. You're right, the legislation, as far as I know, has not been assigned a committee hearing, but it's moved over to the House. It passed the Senate and moved over to the House. We're watching it very closely. I'll probably have a phone call about it today. Again, this is an example of just let city government do our work. We're accountable to the people. This is basic fundamental stuff about what kind of zoning we want to have and what kind of housing units we want to have and tools to have affordable housing. And I've got a radically conservative state legislature that's considering stepping in and telling Bloomington what kind of buildings we're going to have. I think it's a very bad idea.
So now what happens in the meantime now that I see a few more downtown developments are being proposed? What is said to them as now developers are coming in and knowing that this legislation is kind of on balance?
Well, the city is also in the middle of our comprehensive master plan and the unified development ordinance, which will follow from that, basically our new zoning ordinance. We're working on a 15-year-old zoning ordinance, and as soon as I came into office, I knew we had to try to update that. So we're working on that as we speak, and in the meantime, we work with any potential investor as we have. We look at their proposals. We look whether they meet the current zoning. If they don't, we talk to them about what's the justification for not meeting zoning. whether it's enhancements to the community, how they're going to kind of explain why that should be changed. If they're good reasons, we can sometimes work it out. If they don't have good reasons, then my view is that's why we have zoning. Let's stick to it. I think some of the stress we have in town is because we were pretty quick to issue waivers over height and various things that I don't think were appropriate. And I think, look, I believe in densifying Bloomington. We're a great city. We want people to live close to where they work. We want more walkability, bikeability. But we need affordability too. I'm very proud that in the year I've been in, year and a half, year and a quarter, we've been able to make some real progress on affordable housing in several projects. And I think we're building momentum that way. Well, I just don't want the state legislature to stop us.
Back in December, we were told Axia will first complete a detailed analysis to evaluate the level of broadband in March, and it's March. Yeah, is that process still on target? Are they still moving forward?
It is, Joe. I just had a phone call with the president of Axia this week. They've been very active doing their engineering and analysis, and they are in the next week or two, and I do think this month they will be deciding whether to take that next phase. That is, they will have completed the engineering and fiscal analysis. I'm hoping for a positive vote. We don't have that yet from them. And if they do that, we will then begin an expression of interest campaign, which is the very public process to explain what this is and try to assure that the people of Bloomington want it. I'm going to be encouraging that, but it'll be up to us as a city to decide whether we want this or not.
I see that there's a little bit more progress, I-69. I do hear there might be some lane restrictions coming up on 2nd Street Bridge that people might be aware of, or need to be aware of.
Yes. So, you know, I did have a meeting with the governor. I have been the one who said I don't think October 17 is going to happen. While that was denied for a while, we now have a new opening date of August 2018. That is, it is nearly 2 years later than originally proposed, which is very frustrating. I'm going to continue to be a voice and an energy about making sure the state and their partners get this done. They have indeed, Joe, are going to be restricting 2nd Street to do major bridge construction there, because the bridges in Monroe County need to be done one at a time, the ones that go over 69, so we've got to get those started. They have to get those started. I think they have begun. I've seen the barrels and others. It's going to take patience from people. You know, this is a big project. We're going to have to be patient, be friendly with each other, be nice to each other, give yourselves a little more time on that. We're going to be paying attention to try to make sure this date of August 18 is indeed going to be met.
Moving along, Downtown Safety, Civility, and Justice Committee are, from what I hear, making progress. And are you meeting with them soon to hear their recommendations?
Well, I think they're meeting every other week, which is, we really appreciate the commitment. I mean, in this community, it's amazing how people will just step up and you ask them to help and they really want to help. And it's fantastic. You know, this is the second step. The first step was a very broad community engagement, listening, focus groups, and that process ended kind of at about Christmas time. And then this group is implementing that. I have not yet met with the group. I've been talking with different members of the group. This is a very important issue for us. I keep reminding us that this most progressive city is deeply committed to public safety. We want public safety, want civility, we want justice. All through our city, and we have challenges to meet. I'm confident we will. And over this year, I think we're going to be seeing new efforts. I'm going to remind people too, we're going to try stuff. It's not all going to work. But we need to get in the mind that fixing complicated problems, it's not a simple snap your finger solution. We have to try different things, which we will be doing. And this commission is meeting to help us, this task force is meeting to help us recommend some steps.
We've been hearing more about immigration bans ramping up. What resources does Bloomington have for those who might be concerned about that?
Joe, this is a terrible issue. I mean, this city is full of people from all over the world. And they're in college here, and they're in graduate students, and they're in our high schools, and they're in our elementary schools. And these families are facing this terrible fear-driven policy at the national level. It is very frustrating. We as a city, in all that we do, are committed to making this a welcoming place. If you are here and you live peacefully and you are a productive part of our community, we want you here. And you are a great part of our community. There are lots of resources, both inside city government and through wonderful nonprofits that are trying to help people deal with this. Both the university and the city are working closely together to do all that we can to make sure people feel safe, that they're protected and they have resources, whether it's lawyers who can help them deal with challenges, whether it's social service agencies that can help them navigate through these issues, school counselors, and I know this community is standing strong together. It's just a scary time because we know, even here and certainly around the country, ICE agents, these immigration agents, are sometimes appearing and taking people.